from deep inside your radio.
Interesting. Didn't hear the guy talking. Let's check to see how that's patched, shall we? Ladies and gentlemen, from where are they? Oh, we're at Lake shores of Lake Pontchartrain in Louisiana, New Orleans, to be specific. So we have our minds set on and our attention focused on Afghanistan. So, of course, nobody knows what's going on in Iraq at the moment. Hence, the buried lead department pays attention to a story. The real lead, the real first paragraph of the story is the deputy commander of the Navy Region Southwest says the culture at U.S. detention facilities in Iraq, the culture, has changed dramatically since the abuses were uncovered at Abu Ghraib. Well, that's good. That's the good news. Admiral Gar Wright addressed defense contractors. Wait, what's a guy from the Navy doing addressing defense contractors? Oh, he was commander of detention operations in Iraq in 2008. Under a major strategy shift ordered by General Petraeus, Wright says his task force improved health care, giving detainees access to health care. Plus, the detention centers set up schools for literacy. And research on the detainees shows, he says, that more than 50% of them were married. Almost 80% had children. Huh? Oh, I see. That modern thing that people do. But the buried lead, ladies and gentlemen, given all we've been told about Iraq all this time, all of the reports about what's causing the tension, what's causing the insurgency, what's going on, this might merit being farther up in the story. The poll of his detainees, said Admiral Wright, showed that more than 70% of the detainees did not attend mosque regularly before they were detained. In fact, 36% said they had never been inside a mosque. In addition, one thing that surprised Wright, who was there after all, was the lack of ethnic tension in the detention centers. He says 80% were Sunnis, but both Sunni and Shia were happy to play soccer with each other. So what was all that? Was that about something else? Was that about just people not liking each other's neighborhoods or something? Beats me. Hey, you know, I just figured it out. It's the headphones. People heard the guy talking. It's fine. It's just me. That's me talking to Jenny, ladies and gentlemen, not to you. You don't care anything about that. So now, this isn't about airport security. This is just about general security, a tale from a listener, Claudia. Dear Harry, I went to my congressman's local office to express my opinions about health care reform. As a civics lesson, I brought my daughter. Since the congresswoman's office is in the local federal building, we had to go through the usual security check, shoes off, purse on, x-ray machine, etc. The clerk then asked the relationship between me and my daughter. Yes, it would suggest the clerk has learned his interrogating procedures from Larry King. Johnny Cochran, Sr., what was your relationship with Johnny Cochran, Jr.? Anyway, clerk asked the relationship between me and my daughter. She's my daughter, I said, and my daughter pulled out her school ID. Let me see your eyes, the clerk said. He looked at both of our eyes and said, yes, I can see the biological resemblance. You're okay. To which my daughter replied, I'm adopted. There is no biological connection. And the clerk responded, well, I can see the biological link, so you're okay. Yes, indeed. Security theater for your viewing pleasure. How's the economy doing? Well, how many banks do you think failed this year so far? We're just halfway through the year. 74 banks have failed already, including a big one, Colonial Bank Group. Now, I would just say, ladies and gentlemen, I noticed this trend starting in the 1990s, and it always disturbed me just as a stickler for the language. Any bank whose corporate name involves the spelling of the word bank with a C, as in B-A-N-C, we should just shut them down immediately, because there's something wrong with that. So this was Colonial Bank, B-A-N-C Group, and of course, Bank Group is one word, because because they're saving on the spaces for you. Anyway, 74 banks failed this year. Last year, 25. 2007, 3. Are we on the right side of the trend line yet? Hard to say. And news of the digital wonderland. Dear Harry, Frank writes, I just wanted to let you know I received a call today from my local ABC affiliate in Philadelphia. I'd called them in June to let them know I was no longer able to pick up their signal post-transition, digital transition. When I called and got an answering machine that told me they would get back to me soon, well, they were still not able to help me pick up Channel 6, which is ABC in Philly. The only purpose of the call was to find out if I was able to pick up the signal yet. They're still in the process of determining how widespread is the problem of people not being able to pick up ABC in Philadelphia. I then called the FCC hotline to complain about the slow response of the ABC affiliate and to see what pressure the FCC is putting on the station. This is comical. It turns out the FCC is not answering the FCC hotline anymore. I guess it's not that hot. But instead, they have subcontracted it out to another firm. That is to say, a firm. The people on the hotline told me they could only give me the information that was already on the FCC website about the problem with my ABC affiliate. After telling them I wanted to speak directly to the FCC, good for you, Frank, I was patched through a person who actually works for the FCC. She was very nice, but could not tell me when the problem would be fixed. She couldn't tell me if there were any penalties being applied to the station because they were not yet broadcasting in a manner that could be picked up by people in their viewing area. The only helpful advice she could give me was that the more people complain, the more likely the problem will be solved quickly, so pass on the advice to your listeners to complain as often and as loudly as possible. The ironic part of this whole story is I had totally forgotten I couldn't get Channel 6 until they called me. I just stopped trying to watch them over the air since mid-June, and if they ever come back on the air. If they never come back on the air, I won't miss them. Frank from Philly. Ladies and gentlemen, I spent one whole day this week trying to get from Aspen, where I was at a conference discussing New Orleans, to New Orleans. A whole day, you know, things happen, summertime. It wasn't snowing. And so my attention was riveted by a story that NASA is planning to get in the business because it looks like such a good business. Richard Branson, Virgin Galactic, is already in the business of commercial civilian space travel. And I don't know, maybe it was my experience this week. It just sounds so alluring, you know?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain. We have been informed by space traffic control that our scheduled Martian landing is going to be delayed. We can't at this point tell you how long that's going to be. The good news is we do have about 14 days' worth of fuel, so we're just going to circle the moon here until we can figure out what the problem is with the Martian landing facility. And we do recommend if you're going to be sucking on your food tubes, and that certainly will help to pass the time, please just suck on the food tubes that are appropriate for your class of travel. The premium tubes are only for our premium passengers. But sit back, enjoy our entertainment options, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Yeah. Space travel. It's going to be so much fun. Hello, welcome to the show.
Dear one, the world is waiting for the sunrise. Every road is covered with dew. And while the world is waiting for the sunrise, my heart is calling you.
the edge of Lake Pontchartrain, New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm Harry Shearer. Welcome you to this edition of the show. What's going on in Pakistan? You know, part of the whole AFPAC situation. Well, this week, Pakistan registered a criminal case against Pervez Musharraf, former General President Perv. This is a precursor to potentially putting him on trial over his detention of judges way back in 2007 as he attempted to cling to power. Mushi imposed a state of emergency and fired judges, about 60 of them, in late November of that year when the Supreme Court was going to declare him ineligible to run for president while wearing a military uniform. Uh-oh, Perv, better stay in London. And this is reassuring. Pakistan's nuclear facilities always... Just those three words are reassuring. But wait, there's more. Pakistan's nuclear facilities have already been attacked at least three times by homegrown extremists and terrorists in little reported incidents over the last 2 years, according to the Times of India, which, of course, relishes any bad news about Pakistan, even as the world remains divided over the safety and security of the nuclear weapons. The incidents were tracked by a professor at Bradford University in the UK, including an attack on the nuclear missile storage facility at Sargodha, in November 2007, an attack on Pakistan's nuclear airbase at Kamra by a suicide bomber in December of the same year, and the August 2008 attack when Pakistan Taliban suicide bombers blew up several entry points to one of the armament complexes at the Wah cantonment, considered one of Pakistan's main nuclear weapons assemblies. These attacks have occurred even as Pakistan has taken several steps to secure and fortify its nuclear weapons against potential attacks. The attacks have received so little attention that Peter Bergen, a terrorism expert who reviewed the professor's paper, points out something that a series of attacks on Pakistan's nuclear weapons facilities have already happened. Pakistan insists its nuclear weapons are fully secured and there's no chance of them falling into the hands of extremists or terrorists. And you know, call me a cockeyed optimist, I believe them. And now, ladies and gentlemen... news of the Olympic movement. McDonald's, the fast food chain, is in talks to become the official branded food outlet at the 2012 Olympics in London, sparking criticism from health and environmental campaigners. London Olympic organizers would not say whether other food brands would be allowed in the Olympic Park. This comes after the British government launched its food strategy, promising action to encourage restaurants to highlight calorie counts and pledged to launch a healthier food emblem this year. Says Betty McBride at the British Heart Foundation, if McDonald's gets this gold medal status just when the rest of the country is waking up to the obesity time bomb, it doesn't feel right. What is clearly driving this is money rather than health and fitness. Oh, Betty. Oh, Betty. McDonald's says it has been involved with the Olympics for 40 years. And the number of sports facilities being opened in connection with London 2012 to encourage fitness has decreased from 36 to 21 as budget woes have increased. I say just eat more Big Macs to support health and fitness. The Olympics, ladies and gentlemen, it's a movement and we all need one. This is Le Show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, more news of nuclear wonders. It's a week where apparently a lot of, you know, it's clean. It's cheap. It's too cheap to meter. It's so safe, you could eat it for lunch. And yet, there are these stories to consider. First of all, the maker of canisters that store the spent nuclear fuel from the Indian Point nuclear plant, I believe that's in upstate New York, did not properly test for leaks during the manufacturing process, prompting a rebuke from federal regulators and raising the potential for radioactive release. But that's just potential. You know what I'm saying? No guarantee that that's ever going to happen. It's just a potential. Like, you know, like your kid's ability to get into college. Holtec International of New Jersey stopped pressurized helium tests in the containers in 2008 without informing the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. The violation is of concern because the canister's confinement boundary is relied upon to prevent the release of radioactive material, say Nuclear Regulatory Agency officials, in a letter to the company. The NRC considers the significance of the violation to be low. However, the design assumes no credible leakage. Of course, they weren't checking for leakage. The letter goes on to say the regulator does not agree that the helium leak test is unnecessary. Officials at Holtec International declined a request for a telephone interview. NRC officials have now ordered Holtec to check each of the 80 canisters at various locations across the country, including two at the Indian Point nuclear plant. The 109 canisters already loaded into nuclear facilities will not be reopened for testing because it would be impractical and not safe to open sealed casks with hot uranium in them. Not safe? I thought it was too safe to meter. Dateline Boulder, Colorado. As much as 16% of the plutonium spilled at the Boulder campus of the National Institute of Standards and Technology in June 2008, what? I didn't even know about that, may have made its way into the Boulder sewer system. So don't be drinking out of the sewer in Boulder. This according to the National Institute of Standards and Technology in a letter to Boulder city manager. That amount posed no hazard to the citizens of Boulder. Well, unless you're drinking from, says Richard Kaiser, NIST's special assistant for the environment, safety, and health. That's what he told the Boulder city manager. Measurements conducted by a contractor hired by the city of Boulder with funds from the National Institute detected no radioactivity significantly different from natural background levels at several points within the sewer system. But he added, we again acknowledge that this discharge should never have occurred. The spill occurred when a project to enhance the United States' ability to detect dirty bombs went awry at the National Institute of Standards, where a subsequent investigation revealed dangerous plutonium sources were obtained without management approval and handled by inexperienced and untrained researchers. Sleeping well? Yet? On June 9th of last year, a 30-year-old glass vial containing about a quarter of a gram of mixed plutonium isotopes ruptured. A researcher handled the material, significantly spreading contamination in the work area and on his body. He left the area, spreading the contamination outside the lab, always best practices. The release of plutonium into the sewer system was probably caused by the researcher washing his hands in a sink. 84% of the plutonium involved in the spill was recovered for recycling or removed as waste. Okay. Good work, boys. Best practices. It's clean, safe, too cheap to meter. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for me to read the trades for you. From Advertising Age, the Bible, the Quran, the Bhagavad Gita of the advertising industry. How Bud Light Lost Its Sense of Humor. I'm amused. I'll read it for you. You see what you think. Facing the prospect of the first negative sales year in the 27-year history of Bud Light, Anheuser-Busch is going for less drinkability and more laughs to reverse a sales slide of 3% for the brand this year. The brewer's largest and most important brand was marketed for decades under the premise that people drink light beer to have fun, so light beer ads should be funny. From Spuds McKenzie to I Love You Man. Bud Light grew into the world's best-selling beer. Which reminds me, based on criteria like that, the pigeon is the world's greatest bird. But as the Bud Light fan base, now back to advertising age, but as the Bud Light fan base grew older and their more fickle offspring came of drinking age, the marketer looked to adopt a not your dad's beer message. And as rival light brews gained share with consistent attribute-driven marketing, Bud Light searched for something to hang its brand hat on. Last October, it landed on the concept of drinkability, a confusing calling card it has harped on relentlessly since. Drinkability is code for not too heavy, a veiled reference to the slightly more bitter Miller Lite, and not too light, a veiled reference to the slightly more watery Coors Light. In an interview, CEO Dave Peacock said consumer research showed that was the brand's sweet spot for consumers. Though the term itself, often derided as resembling MBA speak, has been on the Budweiser bottle for decades. The push was a marked departure from the focus on sophomoric humor that drove Bud Light sales since its debut in 1982. And it marked a departure from decades of positive sales trends. The execution just hasn't been great, says a veteran beer industry consultant. Did you know there was such a job when you went to high school? And a study by online research firm Zeta Interactive found drinkability might be hurting Bud Light in their target market. Zeta's research indicates that since launching the campaign, listen to this, Bud Light's total online chatter had both decreased and grown more negative. But company executives counter by saying their own research shows Bud Light dominates the total share of online chatter about light beers. How much time have you spent chattering online about beer lately? If you haven't, I'm talking to the wrong demographic, clearly. And they say surveys of social media show drinkability seeping into conversations about beer. I say just put this on the ads if you want sophomoric humor. Now, Anheuser-Busch is dialing down drinkability in forthcoming commercials and returning to its roots. We're going back to that familiar Bud Light voice, says Mr. Peacock. The work will reference drinkability, but it won't be drinkability heavy. Asked if, given the sales declines, he had any regrets about the drinkability campaign, Mr. Peacock said he did not, because now that the heavy-handed explaining of drinkability is out of the way, the brand can get back to being funny again. I'm seeing talking dogs. What do you mean that's not funny? That's always funny. Among its peer light beers, Bud Light's longtime arch-rival Miller Lite has seen even steeper sales declines, while the best-performing big brand of late Coors Light is still growing. The impact of the economy has been particularly felt in convenience stores, which rely on lower-income drinkers. Now, like the Gap or any other mainstream brand sold on image, Bud Light is stumbling as it pitches to the children of its original loyalists. Many of the brand's 21 to 27-year-old target drinkers grew up watching their parents drink Bud Light. And generation gaps have traditionally posed a problem for big beer brands. Schlitz, Pabst, Miller High Life, and Budweiser are all examples of huge brands that never recovered from spirals resulting in part from being rejected by younger drinkers who didn't want to drink their dad's beer. And none of those brands leaned on image advertising to the same extent as Bud Light. Can't dads and kids drink beer together? What is wrong? question that occurs when I read the trades for you. Ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Now, news, brief news of the warm. The president's science advisor, and this is the new president and the new science advisor, says he has recommended some changes in global warming testimony by the head of the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention. But he denied that he wanted entire pages out. John Marburger, head of the President's Office of Science and Technology, was told by Senator Barbara Boxer that the White House had blamed him for deleting all or part of 8 pages of the 14-page draft. After the appearance by the head of the Centers for Disease Control, Julie Gerberding, the Associated Press, attempted a copy of her original draft testimony. It showed that at least 6 pages focusing on specific health impacts in detail of climate change had been removed during a review by the White House Budget Office. Oh, no. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? Somebody sent me that piece, and it's 2 years old. Forget it. Forget what I just told you. That's not the current group. Isn't that embarrassing when that happens? Yes, it is. Ladies and gentlemen, news from the inspectors. I apologize, okay? Reading those datelines, it's hard, you know. You have to squint at the numbers. Officials in the U.S. Department of Transportation have allocated millions of dollars in stimulus funds for small airports, even though the projects did not qualify for funding under the criteria established by the Department of Transportation. The findings were uncovered by the Transportation Department's Inspector General. 50 projects were given money despite the fact they scored less than the minimum required to determine eligibility for federal stimulus funds. One example cited in the report was a new airport in the remote Alaskan village of Uzinki, which received $14.7 million even though it already had a gravel airstrip, landing area for seaplanes, and access to cargo barges. Uzinki averages 42 flights a month. And that is from this year.
Somewhere there's music, I'll paint the tune. Somewhere there's heaven, high in the moon. There is no moon above, love is far away too. It comes true that you love me, it's I love you. Where there's music, wonder how far. Where there's heaven, it's where you are. The darkest night would shine if you would come to me soon. Until you will, still my heart, I'll hide.
This is Le Show, and, you know, when you make a mistake, you do have to apologize. Last week on this broadcast, there was an apology that I read, came from a story from United Press International, and it attributed the situation to the city of Tampa, Florida. Turns out, according to several listeners, the apologized for situation actually happened in Clearwater, Florida, which is a whole different city. So I apologize for reading and trusting United Press International. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this weekend, as you may have noted, is being commemorated as the 40th anniversary of Woodstock. Another anniversary passed with less notice in the past few days. the 35th anniversary of the resignation from the office of President of the United States of one Richard Milhouse Nixon. It didn't go entirely unnoticed, though, as this latest tape of Nixon in Heaven might indicate.
Knock, knock.
Well, you know, it's a cloud, Haldeman. You can just come right in.
I know that, sir. He just seemed busy, lost in thought or something.
Of course, I'm lost in thought. Yeah. Where else would I be?
No, I mean...
I'm not in the arena, am I?
No.
I'm in goddamn heaven.
Well, you've been doing well at keeping busy this last...
No, I mean...
a few decades.
No, of course. Yeah. Back on the planet, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, there and here, I think.
Say, after all this time, you still think you can BS the old man?
No, it's just...
The Jews thought that too, you know.
No, some of them didn't.
Oh, what, Kissinger? Is that what you mean? Kissinger?
Well.
He was the biggest BSer of them all, you know? Peace with honor. That was his, wasn't it?
Well, I actually think it came from National Security Council.
From what?
National Security Council.
NSC? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, sure, but...
But no, whole interagency process at work there, I think.
No, but that was Henry's baby. Take it from me, Alderman. Peace with honor was all his. I mean, you know, I had to take the rap for it for long enough. I should know whose damn fingerprints were all over it.
Mm-hmm. I suppose you should.
Yep.
Just wanted to see how you were doing this particular week.
Mm-hmm. We ever clear up that thing?
The what thing? I mean...
No, I know there were a whole lot of little things, but...
I did take care of making sure Hoover stays in a whole other county.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Well, good. No, that's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's good.
I mean, they're not really counties up here, but...
No, I know. No, for Canadians.
I mean, I can't even pronounce the Hebrew word they use for it.
No, of course not. Mm-hmm. All the K's and the C-H's and so forth.
Sounds like I'm gargling when I try.
I mean, that language wasn't made for the Christian mouth, of course.
Well, no, predates Christianity, for one thing.
For one thing?
Mm-hmm.
See, but even so, it's been, I mean, it's been long enough, you'd think that...
Well, from what I've seen, I think they're pretty impervious to change up here.
No, I know, but you think with all the Christians have gotten in.
No.
You know,
yeah.
Including, of course, you know who.
Yeah. Well, but he was Jewish.
Well, if you want to believe...
No, I mean, you know, you can...
Kissinger told you that, didn't he?
Yeah.
See, that's what I mean. Yeah. He'll say anything.
Well, anyway, that thing...
Yeah.
Which...
Parking thing.
Mm-hmm.
See, how can they get parking tickets up here? See, I mean, there aren't any curbs. You know, you're supposed to be, what, a mind reader and know that this part of the cloud is cleaned on Tuesday morning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, their position was that there were signs.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, but I didn't see any signs, mm-hmm. You see. Mm-hmm. Must have been, you know, lost in the mist or something.
Yeah. So they were pretty big. I didn't see them myself.
Well, see... That's what I...
I mean, I didn't actually go down there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
So who...
I had one of the Cubans actually go down there and look.
We're still using the Cubans?
Mm-hmm.
After all the screw-ups?
Yep.
I mean, you know... It,
no, I...
Yes, mistakes were made in our part of the operations.
Mm-hmm. I think
but,
we...
you know, it's still, to me, you know... To me, it still comes down to the Cuban.
Yeah. So you've been...
You know, it's the goddamn Cubans.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
See?
Yeah.
You know, I had a Filipino valet.
Oh, Manolo.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
Manolo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, see, my point is, just why didn't we just recruit some Filipinos for the break-ins?
Mm.
See?
So, you've been thinking about the anniversary?
Hmm. Well... I mean, you can't help it, can you?
No, of course not.
No.
Yeah, seems so long ago.
Well, I mean, I told her not to marry the boy in the first
place. I didn't mean that anniversary.
You know, I said, mm-hmm. Of course, yeah, he's an Eisenhower, but you can do better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
But the anniversary I had in mind was the 35th.
Yeah. 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 Of the,
Right.
The little thing.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. The official,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the anniversary. Well, of course, seldom it seems just like yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Especially since we've gotten here. I mean, you know, time just... What's the cliche?
Seems to stand still.
Right.
Well,
yeah, of course. If it wasn't so damn boring, you know, it might seem to move, don't you think?
Well, you know, there are the concerts.
Oh, I know. Yeah. You know, that's fine for the Kennedy crowd, of course, and so forth. I mean...
And the museums.
No, I know. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. It's a fine habit. Mm-hmm. No question about it, but, you know... Me, I just miss the action, you know?
Yeah.
Just one liberal think tank to fire about. I mean, just one.
I agree, it's a little calm.
Just some psychiatrist's office to bug, you know? Mm. Just to get the juices flowing.
Yeah, I don't think that's part of the program.
Well, of course it isn't. I mean, it's the whole damn idea that, you know, you've done all that, right?
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. It's supposed to be time to relax and... you know, whatever people do when they relax.
That's right.
I mean, it's not as if we haven't tried.
No. You know, we've discussed, gosh.
That's right. Mm. I mean, dozens of plans.
Dozens of plans.
Yeah. But see, that's the thing about being deceased. See, all of it. Mm. Our hands are tied.
Well... Not totally.
I mean,
it's just
whenever we...
all of our old contacts down there are now either up here or,
Yeah.
Really down there.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, you say, whenever we get any new blood up here, I mean, they're as bad as we are.
You think so? I thought they tightened up the rules after...
No, I don't mean...
after we got in.
No, I mean as bad at getting things done.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, that's true.
Even if you're not? Including the Cubans.
Oh, no, they're worse.
And getting things done.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, no. Not wallowing in anniversary thinking.
No.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what's the point? Mm-hmm. You know, they keep talking about letting us go back in time, but...
I don't think they've perfected the...
I know, but I mean, we've been on the list for...
Last time I heard, the software was still buggy.
I mean, you said we were first on the list, you know, former president.
No, I did, and
because of
they're debugging the software, and...
Well, you know, if they need something bugged, that's one thing our people can still do, isn't it?
They can, but...
Well, so why not get them on it? I mean, we don't have all the time in the world, Alderman.
Well, in fact, sir, I think we do.
No, I know. Just a figure of speech. Mm. But,
no, I could get some people to...
Just bug it, you know, whatever the hell it is. Mm. I mean, the software you said,
yes,
bug
sir.
The hell out of it.
Yeah. Well, I'll work on it,
bug
sir.
The crap out of it.
No, I'll call some of the people over there.
I mean, you know, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
This time, we really could use Filipinos.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, screw the Cubans.
Mm. Yep.
This is the show. Thank you.
You know those dates at the top of the stories? Sometimes they're in smaller print. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
Oh, a big pile of them. I don't know if we'll get through all of them. Let's see. Dateline Taipei, Taiwan President Ma Ying-jeou apologized for the government's slow response to mudslides brought on by Typhoon Morakot. As survivors began to hold memorial ceremonies. The rescue effort could have been faster, better, but we failed to do that, President Ma said while inspecting one of the disaster areas. We apologize. Interesting approach to inadequate response to a flood disaster. And a Taipei resident who identified himself only as Mr. Ye fell to his knees to apologize to his dead parents after failing to fulfill a promise before the disaster to buy an apartment and move them to the capital city of Taipei. That's a good son. A senior editor of the New York Times has apologized to the Washington Times, no relation, for publishing a front-page story Friday that accused the Washington Times of being, quote, decidedly opposed, unquote, to President Obama. Dean Baquet, Washington bureau chief of the New York Times, telephoned Washington Times editors, offered an apology to the staff, and said he would run a correction. I would never say your paper has been anything but absolutely fair and objective to Obama, Baquet told the Washington Times managing editor David Jones. We agree and accept the Times' apology, said Washington Times executive editor John Solomon. Dateline Lubbock, Texas, County Judge Tom Head issued a statement designed this week to clarify his motives in posting material that some reacted to with dismay and anger. The statement came in an envelope addressed to the local newspaper, the Avalanche Journal. Not kidding. Reading it correctly. He said, Judge Head, I've posted satire, current events, and many other materials covering a range of issues I felt were interesting or worthy of discussion. This is the first time any of those materials have been interpreted in a much different way than it was intended. I may have been naive in thinking that people would know my actions would never be directed at a race of people. Therefore, I sincerely apologize to everybody that was offended by the materials I posted. I truly never meant any racial disrespect. I apologize to them and all citizens of Lubbock. I apologize to members of the judiciary. I apologize to the members of the Republican Party. I never intended for my actions to label my political party as in any way promoting racism. It was not my intent to do so. Of course, the story does not indicate what the offending remarks were. I guess it's just up to us to imagine. And me, I'm doing just that. Deadline Jerusalem, Israel's consul general in Boston, Massachusetts, apologized for a memo he wrote criticizing Israel's policy toward the United States. Nadav Tamir was reprimanded in Israel by Foreign Ministry Director General Yossi Gal for his lack of judgment in widely distributing the memo. Tamir apologized, saying he regretted the memo became public. He also said he understood that someone in an official government position cannot publicly criticize the government. Gal did not reprimand him for the content of the three-page memo, titled Melancholy Thoughts on Israel-U.S. Relations, which said Israel's handling of relations with the Obama administration was causing Israel strategic damage. University of Louisville men's basketball coach Rick Pitino apologized this week after details emerged about his 2003 sexual encounter with a woman charged with trying to extort $10 million from him. Speaking without notes for nearly 5 minutes and without taking questions, Pitino, a married father of five, apologized to his family, school officials, players, and fans in a hastily arranged appearance on campus. I let them down with my indiscretion 6 years ago, and I'm sorry for that, he said. He had consensual sex with Karen Cipher in a Louisville restaurant after hours. A few weeks later, according to the report, Cipher told Pitino she was pregnant and planned to have an abortion but didn't have health insurance. Pitino, after asking about the cost, gave her $3,000. This is why we need reform. To save the reputations of people like Rick Pitino. When Justin Matthews captured a 14-foot Burmese python on July 25th, the news went nationwide. I didn't expect it to blow up like it was, he said. It blew up all right. Matthews captured the python in a staged event. Confronted by Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, the well-known wildlife expert admitted it was a publicity stunt. He bought the 100-pound snake from a reptile exchange in Tampa. That's Tampa, not Clearwater. A month before, he captured it from a concrete drainage pipe in the city. We had a tip. The situation may not be as purported, said Florida Wildlife Commission spokesman Gary Morse. An unfortunate lapse in judgment led to the abuse of public assets. I made a mistake, and I apologize for it, said wildlife expert Matthews. My intention was to bring more attention to the problem of Burmese pythons being released. I've always been able to get publicity when things happen. As far as it being ethical, I made a mistake. I've never done it before, and I won't do it again. I've always been able to get publicity for, well, not quite like that. Not quite like that. Dateline, Brattleboro, Vermont. That's the scene of a major brattlefield, isn't it? Although Entergy, the energy company with a T in its name, was responsible for monitoring the radiation levels of casks containing spent fuel at Vermont Yankee Nuclear Power Plant, an official with the Department of Public Service apologized for not realizing sooner that Entergy, which owns and operates the nuclear plant, had not been fulfilling its obligation to the state. Quote, I feel personally responsible for not catching the requirement because I'd helped negotiate the memorandum of understanding with the former state nuclear engineer, wrote Sarah Hoffman, public advocate for the Department of Public Service. These were the required conditions that would allow Entergy to store spent fuels in the casks. In January of this year, the Department of Public Service asked the firm about the monitoring of the casks. The response was that the information was on a site and could be reviewed at any time. That certainly made us believe that the monitoring was being done, although it doesn't excuse the fact that the department hadn't gotten the monitoring protocol in place. Yes, clean shape safe, too cheap to faith. The mayor of Mattawa, Washington, apologized to a group of Latina daycare providers this week for having complained about them to state investigators 8 years ago. After a private hour-and-a-half meeting in a school gym, the workers called it a small step toward easing racial tension. It was the first time Mayor Judy Essert met with and answered questions from some of the providers who've been investigated by the state since she suggested that some providers were being hired to take care of so-called phantom children. The requirement for a meeting and formal apology were included in a $55,000 settlement earlier this year between the town of Mattawa and the child care providers. And a senior conservative member of parliament apologized on Wednesday in Britain after he was secretly filmed saying that members of parliament had been forced to, quote, live on rations in the wake of the scandal involving parliamentarians and their expenses. And CNN host Lou Dobbs is expressing some regret for referring to former Democratic National Chairman Howard Dean as a blood-sucking leftist could only be stopped if one put a stake through his heart. I'm sorry if a Bram Stoker allusion is too literary for some, was the extent of Dobbs' apology. This is the Self-Same Show. And ladies and gentlemen, the New York Times ran a story recently about a new sign of the recession hitting Americans where they live. People are taking to raising chickens. Lloyd Romreel, a married father of four in Annis, Idaho, recently received 7 grown chickens and a coop from a relative. The hens lay a total of about 24 eggs a week. It's because times are tough, he says. A backyard chicken trend is sweeping the country. Always beware of trend stories, but that's what the New York Times says. Hatcheries that supply baby chicks, they can barely keep up with demand. Do-it-yourself coops have popped up in places as disparate as Brooklyn, Chicago, and the rural West. Raising chickens has become an emblem of extreme foodie street cred, New York Times speak, in cities. But for many others, a deep current of economic distress underlies the backyard chicken boomlet as people seek ways to fend for themselves in tough times. Marie Reed, a sales representative for Ideal Poultry, a large Texas hatchery, says managers of rural feed stores that sell the company's birds say they had seen a spike this year in demand for baby chicks, along with an upturn in sales of garden seeds and ammunition.
Got laid off. There's no other jobs. Could have earned a buck. Joined some local mobs. Wife just said, We need to self-sustain. Went down to the feed store, trying to ease the pain. Well, I saw some chicks there, guns and ammo too. You know I liked the combo, liked what each could do. See, one could fight the hunger, one could fight the fear. 20 chicks, no roosters, 7 rifles in the rear. Buying some guns and backyard chickens, the heart leaps, the pulse rate quickens. Surviving through the bad times ain't so hard. We're staying safe, keeping on eating, that's going forward, not retreating. We've been knocked down, Lord knows we've been scarred. So lock and load some hens in your backyard. Wife feeds the chickens, I feed the 22. We both have our duties, both have jobs to do. She collects the eggs, I enforce the sign that says don't even think of crossing our property line. Our little girls cry on chicken killing day, but they're learning food don't come from no plastic tray. With all that we've been through, it's such a relief to start the day with omelets armed to the teeth. We're buying up guns and backyard chickens, tasty as hell, scary as the dickens. Don't want no ID number, don't want to show no card. Not a UFO nut, not a birther, not a specter or a murther. Just want to live where aliens are barred. With some rifles and chickens here in my backyard. Weapon is heavy, but I can lug it. Don't have to pay for no McNugget. We're not street, and we're not boulevard. Just us and rifles and chickens in our backyard.
And finally, ladies and gentlemen, some news from outside the bubble. Because we do want to pay just a little attention to Afghanistan. That country has quietly passed a law, according to The Guardian in England, permitting Shiite men to deny their wives food and sustenance if they refuse to obey their husband's sexual demands, despite international outrage over an earlier version of the legislation that President Karzai had promised to review. The new final draft also grants guardianship of children exclusively to their fathers and grandfathers, and requires women to gain permission from their husbands to work. It also effectively allows a rapist to avoid prosecution by paying blood money to a girl who was injured when he raped her, according to the charity Human Rights Watch. President Karzai backed down on the earlier version of the bill. Activists say the revised law still contains repressive measures and contradicts Afghanistan's constitution and international treaties it has signed. Treaties? This is Le Show. I got your treaties right here. A couple of airlines apologized this week as well. ExpressJet for stranding passengers on the tarmac for a long time. But that's good for them, because I never heard of them before. And the Cubs fan who dumped a beer on a Philadelphia Phillies outfielder has also apologized. Just catching up, ladies and gentlemen, because that's going to conclude this week's edition of Le Show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, on the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network up and down the east coast of North America via the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet, 7.415 megahertz shortwave on the mighty 104 in Berlin. Around the world via the internet, you've heard of it. At two different locations, live and archived whenever you want it on your computer, harryshearer.com or kcrw.com. Available for your smartphone through stitcher.com. Available as a free download to members at audible.com/theshow. And available as a free podcast at kcrw.com. And be just like Lou Dobbs really apologizing if you'd agree to be with me then, would you? Alrighty, thank you very much, Show chapeau to the San Diego, Pittsburgh, Chicago, and Pittsburgh desks. And thanks, as always, to Pam Halstead. The email address for this broadcast and playlist for music heard hereon, as well as information on the forthcoming new digital downloads of the new Grammy-losing project, Greed and Fear, all available at harryshearer.com. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless. And thanks also to Jenny Lawson at WWNOFM. So long from New Orleans.